You've got to be receptive. You've got to be willing. You've got to be open. You've got to be eager. You've got to be ready. The number one reasons to this sort of barrier is sort of a resistance. And henceforth you think God can speak. I don't believe God can speak. And I tell you, if you believe that God can speak, I don't think he's going to speak to you. So you've got to be open. A lot of us, especially in the 21st century, think, I'm open. You know, I'll listen to everything. But when you get down to it, they're a closed mind. They are on a set path, not open to anything. Luke chapter 5 says, well, this footpath soil is highlighted in Luke chapter 5, which says here, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. What's that path they're talking about? I don't know if any of you are into farming, but I love farming, and one of my desires, I think I'm going to probably have to convince my wife that when we retire, that I'll buy 5 or 10 acres and we do some farming. If you come to my home, when the cold spell was a couple of days, I brought in my juplum tree because I wanted to preserve it. Because I can't build any pathway. The soil in my area is all rocky, so I have to plant my things in pot. But here this farmer tosses the seed, and some fell along the path. And this path is where you walk, you know, between where you plant the things. So anything that falls along the path is going to be walked on. It's going to be trampled. There is no way it's going to grow there because the birds are going to come and eat those seeds. Those are feed into the birds. So anything that falls along the path are doomed to failure. What is God's explanation of this path? Because what Jesus does here, if you look at Luke chapter 5, he talks about the seed falling on the path. But then if you look down at verse 12, he explains what he's trying to say here. He says in verse 12, those along the footpath are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their heart so that they cannot believe and they will not be saved. There are two characteristics of a footpath. They're hardened and it's narrow. Because why you think it's hardened? Because people walk up and down it. They walk back and forth to take care of what they plan. And it's narrow because it makes sense to be narrow. You don't want it to be larger than is necessary, right? Because if you make it larger than is necessary, then you reduce the acreage that you can farm. So there are two characteristics. It's hardened of this footpath and it's narrow. So this first soil, which represents a closed mind. The hardened soil represents a closed mind, as I said before. But what causes a closed mind? Let me give you a three major mental blocks that keep people from hearing God. The first one is pride. Pride. You know, some of you are from a particular area of this earth. They're very proud people. We like to say we do it all on our own. We pull ourselves up by our own bootstrap. We don't want any help. We want to do it on our own. But there's a favorite song that I have that I used to sing a long time, probably 30 years ago in high school, that says, no man is an island. I'm not going to even venture to try to sing for you. And my wife said, no, don't even go there. But it says that pride, and it says pride comes before a fall. So pride causes a closed mind because we're locked in. We don't want to hear anything. We don't want any help from God. The second one that causes a closed mind is fear. And there's a nice acronym that I learned a couple of years ago for fear is false evidence appearing real. And some of you might know it. False evidence appearing real. It's not real. We're fearful. We said, okay, what if I decide to follow Christ? Is he going to send me off to Darfur? Remember a couple months ago, we decided back in August to support a graduate of University of Florida who is going off to Darfur, and as I speak of that, we need to find out what's going on with him. Is he going to ask me to give up all the things that I enjoy? Is he going to let me become some sort of religious fanatic? So we're fearful. We don't want anything of that. We block it up. We want our freedom. But freedom lies in God. It's a false freedom. So that's the inherent fear in it. We are scared. So our mind is closed. We have pride and we have fear. And the third one, and I probably want to spend some time on this, because third one is bitterness. Bitterness causes people to close their heart and minds to God. There's resentment. You know, folks, you're going to be hurt. We're hurt when we're young, you know, just running around and tumble over and get, you know, bruises. Sometimes it happens intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. That's a fact of life, that we're going to be hurt. When you hold on to hurt and keep them in your mind, it tends to want you to cause to shift the blame. And as I prepare this, I still remember it has been probably 20-something years that a teacher, the principal before my mom became principal, got stricken with cancer, and she was bitter. She was bitter that she started blaming God and said, "Why does this have to happen to me?" And it's possible that she might have gone on to a lost eternity because she just started blaming God because of her bitterness. And it's so sad. Some of you have been hurt very badly. Some of you have been betrayed. Some of you might have been misled. Some of you might have been abused physically, emotionally, and verbally. I thought I was verbally when I got that bad abuse, verbally when I got that bad review. And I sound like I'm still carried around a hurt, right? So pray for me. Because that's a sidetrack here. In 30 years that I've been working, I've never gotten a review that bad, you know. And so I'm probably still hurting from that. So pray for me. Some of you might have been rejected. Some of you might have been hurt by a former girlfriend, boyfriend, ex-husband, ex-wife. Or you might have been hurt in the name of Christianity. Somebody said something like, that's just not properly thought of. But the tragedy of a closed mind is that it generates a heart that's barren. And whatever is barren, nothing can grow there. So we've got to get away from this closed mind. It's like a wasted life. Nothing is going to grow there. There's no hope. It's worthless. It's useless. So the first step in preparing to hear from God is that you've got to open your mind. You've got to be willing to hear what the Lord is saying. Secondly, in order to prepare your heart to hear from God, hear what God wants to talk to you, you've got to allocate time to listen. Let me say that again. You've got to allocate time to listen. And time is one of those things that's equally distributed by God. We all get 168 hours per week. So we've got to manage that time. So we've got to cultivate an open mind and then allocate time to listen. This means you've got to slow down. You've got to make time to be quiet. And I purposely pause there because some of us are just so uncomfortable with the quietness. If it's quiet, something is not right. We got to turn the radio on. We got to turn the TV on. And some of us are so uncomfortable with the quietness that even when we're sleeping, we're snoring. No, I'm just kidding. The first barrier to hearing from God is resistance. The second barrier to hearing God speak is hurry. Are any of you familiar with this word hurry? There's even a military saying that hurry up and wait. It's a sort of an oxymoron. When we live hurried lives, God gets shuffled to the sideline of our lives. God gets shortchanged. We're always in a hurry. We say, God, I want to hear from you. Speak, God. I only have 5 minutes. Quick. God says, I'll pass on this time. God wants more of your lives. He doesn't want a leftover. God doesn't want you to shortchange him. I've got a few minutes, God. Talk to me quick. No, God says. God wants to be the center of your life. The way you prove that he's the center of your life is to allocate time to listen. It's important enough that you should set time in your schedule. I know a lot of you have busy schedule. I don't know, probably only Pastor Gary has a busier schedule than me. But we've got to allocate time to hear from God. Here, the second soil that Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 6, and you compare Luke chapter 6 with Luke 13, the explanation. In Luke chapter 6, he says, other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. This seed began to grow. So it began to grow, but soon withered and died for lack of moisture. And the analogy here is that in Israel, the soil is not that great. It's bedrock, limestone, so everything has a difficult time growing. But the explanation comes from Jesus in verse 13 of Luke chapter 8 when he says, the rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy. So they hear the message with joy, but like young plants, in such soil, their roots don't grow very deep. They believe for a while, but they wilt when the hot winds of testing blows. Jesus says the second soil, represents a shallow soil. It represents what we might term a superficial mind. Sometimes we react superficially to God's word. We get excited. We react emotionally. We move impulsively. But we don't let the word sink into the bedrock of our personalities. There is no real change. Notice the verse says, they receive the word with joy. They're going, wow, that's a great service. That's a great message. But when they walk out the door, they totally forget what was said. And that's why, and I'm glad to see people writing, that's why part of the leadership strategy is to have you write. Because I think it was the Air Force who did a study that says 95% of the things that we hear, within 72 hours we forget. But if we can connect through a written thing, if we hear it and write it down, we have increased the chances of us remembering it. So that's why we put these things on here. You write it down, you can go home, validate some of what is said, and you will remember it. So you don't be like those who hear and then it just dissipates. Notice that these people have shallow roots. Like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. These are not deep people, and there's still a lot of discussion in this part of the world as to how deep messages should be and how shallow it should be, but that's another issue. Talking about people, they believe for a while. They are fair-weather believers. They believe for a while, but when the hot winds come, the trials come, they forget what's happening. When problems come and the heat's on, they dry up and walk away from what they heard. How do you go beyond superficiality. How do you stop being a superficial person? How do you get spiritual depth in your life? How do you become a deep person? And I just want to say that, you know, we are called to be like babes in coming to Christ. But we've got to grow. We've got to mature. We've got to feed on that milk. So we can't remain babes. So initially, yes, it should be simple and clear for everybody to understand. And we as babes who don't know Christ should accept him, but then we should grow. Our spiritual roots should go down into the soil. So here are two practical ways to grow in God. I don't know if we have this on the slide here. The first one is create a schedule or a daily time with God. And yes, some people might want 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but we call it a quiet time. And if you have or you need some help in that, then after we're done with class 101, who teaches class 201? I think it's me, I'm not sure. But we've got a class 201 where we can show you how to develop a quiet time. The second thing that will help you not be superficial and to grow deeper is a weekly small group. And here's my plug for our small group director isn't here, and he would love this. We all got to tie in to some type of small groups. Whether it's be I live, where we exercise, or we sit and study the Bible, but we've all got to come together and look into the Word. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, don't give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage each other. We need each other, folks. Sunday morning alone is not enough. You know, the world out there is tough. And I have said in a couple of weeks before that we need to go out there because they're not going to come to us. But as we go out there and we interact with these folks, they're going to rub us off. We're going to be drained. And the only way we can get back on track is to come back together and huddle. In these small groups, we have an opportunity where we can interact. Here it's a monologue. I speak to you, and 95% of what I say, you don't remember. Hopefully it's up to 90% with this writing. But at the small groups, you have interaction. You can have discussion. You can share. You can ask for prayer. You can ask for assistance. And I'm going to encourage you, especially this year, to plug into a small group. We've got 3 or 4 that's active. We've got the I Live, which is synonymous to a small group where we share and get to know each other. But you need to dedicate, put aside some time. You've got 168 hours like everybody else. And you're not going to get more. You're not going to get less. So don't, you know, you just got to budget time. You've got to move it up in your priority list and attend one of these priority care group. So you got to set time and you got to attend a small group. So if you want to hear God's voice, you've got to cultivate an open mind, as I said before, and then you've got to allocate time to listen. Then the third response is you must eliminate the distractions. And I'm sort of smiling at these because, you know, I remember 40 years ago, the distractions weren't that many, and I'm gonna talk about what the distractions are really weed. You can't hear when your mind is crowded out with other thoughts, when your mind is crowded out with worries. And if I pause on worries here, you know, we're taught in the Word to pray without ceasing. But a lot of us worry without ceasing. We need to reverse that. You know, I need to do some work on that. I remember when I, first couple of years when I got married, I used to like get at my wife because she wasn't worrying about some of the things. She was all, you know, like, why are you not worried, you know? I thought that if you don't worry, then you don't, you aren't concerned. But we need to just lay it into the hands of the Lord. Lay it there and leave it there. And it's not going to come easy, folks. I know, you know, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. You've got to work at it. So we can't hear the Lord if we have concerns and anxieties. If our mind is filled with our plans, and yes, we must plan. I'm not saying that we shouldn't plan. Our mind is filled with our to-do list, or what should we do next? I think probably some of us are thinking about what we're going to eat for dinner, or did I leave that pot on the fire? We gotta put those things aside, folks. We can't hear from the Lord if our mind is crowded out. You know, I know some of us have like a funeral coming up, you know, but we've got to put aside these, fill our thoughts with the Lord so that we can hear it. You can't hear from God when your mind is filled with your dreams. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have dreams, your plans, your ambitions. And yes, we should all be ambitious. And there's nothing I detest more than an unambitious person. Did I get that right? We should all be ambitious. We shouldn't be bums. We should be respectable members of this society. We shouldn't be taking out more than we put in. So there's nothing wrong with ambition, but to let that ambition crowd our Lord and Savior out is totally wrong. So the third kind of soil, Jesus calls this soil weeds. In Luke chapter 7, and the parallel for 7 is 14. Where in Luke chapter 7, he says, other seeds fell in the weeds, and the weeds grew with it and strangled it. Strangle it. And you know, strangled tend to give an impression that, hey, there's some force being applied here. You know, it just doesn't grow up. It strangles the life out of it. So this soil does not get sprouted. It actually starts growing. So there is something happening. There is some life there. They're getting in touch with the Lord. But the weed comes along and just choke the life out of it. So in verse 14 of Luke, chapter 8, Jesus tells the meaning. It says, this weed, the seed that fell among the weeds stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they don't mature. You might want to circle as they go. So the first barrier to hearing God is resistance. The second is hurry. The third is busyness. Lots of movement. But are we being productive? The Bible says that these people are being choked. Today we say in common terms, they're being stressed out. They're at the end of the rope. And it's amazing that in a society like this that, you know, Prozac and all these, Donna can help me out in all these stress inhibitor drugs are some of the most popular drugs in this society, that we're stressed out. We're worried. Oh, Donna, yeah, we dispense a lot of that. And if you're in the healthcare business, yeah, healthcare industry make a lot of money from that because we're stressed out. Not only non-Christian, but Christians are stressed out too. So actually, it gives us three very common weeds, and I'm going to highlight them quickly here. The first one is worry. You can be so busy with problems and pressures of daily life that you forget God. The word worry means pull in a different direction. So worry sort of pulls you away from where you should be going. You're stretched to the limit, pulled in a different direction. I forget God because I'm so filled with anxiety. I'm too filled with worry that I don't even think about God anymore. The second barrier is riches. And yeah, we're in a very rich society. And sometimes we get confused about what the difference between needs and want. You know, everybody moving to house, oh, I got to have internet hookup. Hey, 20 years ago, we were living perfectly well without internet. 30 years ago, we'd walk out the house without a phone and no big deal, right? And I'm not saying anything is wrong to be rich. And I still remember what Pastor Dennis, when he was here on one of his messages, said, you know, a man who is very rich and his goal is to get more. But what was his goal behind getting more? It's so that he can share it. So there's nothing wrong with being rich. But when it crowds God out, That's a problem. That's a problem. And it prevents you from hearing from God. And the third one, distraction, is pleasure. Oh, we love to have fun. Oh, kids today, man, they'll stay up late hours of the day playing that video game. Oh, we gotta have some, we gotta go to South Beach, or we gotta go here, we gotta get vacation, we gotta go here. And folks, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. Who invented pleasure? God. But if it dispels our communication and our interaction with Him, then there's a problem. So these are just three weeds. And there could be, you know, there's many that we could highlight, but time doesn't allow us to do. And what is a weed really? A weed is anything that allows you to take the place of God, as I said before. It crowds God out. It could be a very good thing, but if it's anything that allows you to choke God out of your life, choke God out of your life. So it gives an impression. That choking thing says, you know, it takes time. You know, the weed grows and it slowly takes the life out of you. It doesn't happen. You don't get up one day and you just stop thinking about God because you have to go to golf game or go play golf on a Sunday or what have you. It happens once, then twice, then it's a slow path, it's a slippery slope. You know, the strange thing about weeds is that you don't have to do anything to let them grow. They just grow on their own. They don't need any taking care of. You know, as I told you, I've got my Jew plum, and I had to put some Miracle-Gro in the pot, and I got to water them regularly for it to grow. But the weeds, they just grow. And the weeds even piggyback on your fruits. Because I have my pot with my Jew plum, and you're probably tired here about my Jew plum. I have 26, so you guys, you might be able to get one or two in another couple months or so. I noticed that weeds are growing up even faster than the Jew plum. They had to go rip them out. And I ripped them out last week, and bet you in another couple weeks they got to rip the weed out. It doesn't take anything to grow the weeds, but it takes a lot of time to produce good fruit. A lot of effort. So this soil with weeds represents what? A preoccupied mind or a busy mind. You're just too preoccupied. You've tried to call your mom and you get this busy signal, especially try to call mom on Mother's Day, you get a busy signal. Circuits are jammed. It's busy. If we should look at the Old Testament, you can write this down in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 through 13, where Elijah was trying to hear from God, but he finally thought he would hear in some big flash of lightning and rumbling. God spoke to him in a whisper. It's a still, small voice. It says, there was a sound of the gentle whisper. You know what the problem is with a whisper? You have to be quiet to hear it. You can't be making a lot of noise to hear the whisper. You gotta drown the other things out. You gotta get rid of the other noise. The only way to hear a whisper, you've gotta be quiet. God is whispering to probably some of you all week. I truly believe He has been whispering to many of us. But you couldn't hear. Why? You're never quiet. People don't like to be quiet. It's an uneasy feeling, as I told you before. If we were to sit down in total silence for 5 minutes, some of us would freak out. We'd say, oh, what's going on here? Something is not right. Or we'd probably hear things we never used to hear. So we don't like quietness. Yet it is in the quietness that God speaks to us. A lot of us are expecting God to speak to us with a loud, tumbling voice. And sometimes He do. Sometimes He has to knock you on your back to get your attention. But most times He's whispering in your ear. Hey, He said, I'm talking to you. All of this week God has been trying to talk to you, whispering to you. God doesn't shout. He doesn't write it in the sky, except for the rainbow when He says, oh, look at my good work. He doesn't do this. This is God. He doesn't do that. He whispers. You have to be quiet to hear His whispers. In the weeks ahead, We're going to get into some real detail about how you hear God speaks. How you know when it's God who is speaking. But before we get in and I end, you might want to do a little gut check on your heart. So fourth and finally, in preparing to hear from God, you've got to cooperate with what he says. First, you cultivate an open mind. Then you allocate time to listen. Then you eliminate distractions. And then you cooperate with what he says. This is very, very important. God speaks to the person who decides in advance to do whatever he tells him to do. God doesn't force his way on us. You're saying, yes, God. But before you even tell him what to do, I'm telling him, your answer should be yes. Before you even talk to me, God is telling you, I'm telling you, God, okay. I know you love me. I know you're smarter than me. And if he's God, he's better be smarter than me, because I'm not too smart. I know you're God, and I'm not. I know what's best in my life. And, you know, sometimes we think we're so smart that we know what's best. I trust you implicitly. So, God, whatever you tell me, I'm telling you in advance, I'm going to do it. That's total trust. That's leaving it there. That's the person God speaks to. When you are open to him, he'll speak to you. God speaks to those persons who says, God, tell me what you want me to do and say, and I'll just, God doesn't speak to the person who say, tell me what you want me to do, and I'll decide whether I want to do it or not. God doesn't speak to the person who say, God, tell me what you think is a good thing, and I'll compare it with my other three things, and I'll decide. You know, you've got to open the floodgates. You've got to trust God. You know, it's almost like a little child. I remember when my kids were young, that they'll stand on a ledge and you tell them, jump. And you don't even have your hand out and they'll jump. As they get older, they're like, jump. I'm not too sure. You sure you're going to catch me? They'll ask questions. And that's why the Lord asks us to come to him in a childlike faith, total trust. So what the Bible says here in this fourth soil in verse 15, where Jesus gives the explanation, is the seed that fell in the good soil stands for those who hear the message, retain it, and with an obedient heart, and they persist until they bear fruit. So notice there are four points here to the good soil. They first hear it, then they retain it, and we help you to retain it by writing it down so you can memorize it. Then you've got to obey it. You know, some of us just hear it. Some of us write it down. Then it seems like a big jump to the next one, to obey it. Then even a bigger jump, that we persist. We persist so that we can bear fruit. Folks, when we heard the voice of God saying, go out into this area here, we decided to follow on his word, to come out and start a church, to reach the people who don't know God in this area. So we heard God's voice, and I'm saying we heard God's voice, and I trust that we did hear God's voice to come out here. Right, Gary? You back me up on that? And we retained it, we wrote it down, we set out a plan, and so we were obedient. Now we've got to be persistent to bear fruit. We've got to be persistent. We've been here, 4 years? You know, we don't know when the numbers are going to jump, or, you know, we've had success, but we want more success. But we've got to be persistent. It's not going to happen overnight. So we've got to have a willing mind. We've got to work hard at it. We've got to do what the Lord tells us to do. And in his strength, we will bear fruit. So we have highlighted four responses here to the Lord. And I know many of us here are in the fourth category, where we have heard the word, we have retained it, and we have obeyed. And we have borne some fruit. We have borne many fruit. A lot of us have led a number of folks to the Lord. I saw statistics not too long ago that says 95% of Christians have never led anybody to the Lord. That's unfortunate, and we as leaders probably have to do something about that. But there probably are some folks here that are of a closed mind. And as we go to prayer, I want all heads bowed, all eyes closed. That if you're here today and you've got a closed mind, you think God doesn't speak, but he might just be speaking to you, that in the quietness of this closing session, you ponder right now and you say, you know, I'm going to open my mind. I'm going to let loose so that the Lord might speak to me and I come to know the Lord. I'm going to pray for you if you're in that category, that you might really come to know the Lord, that you might open your mind to the Lord and accept the Lord as Jesus Christ and Savior of your lives. We've spoken about the worries, the busyness of life. A lot of that can be ameliorated by bringing and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And as we pray, I don't know if I'm available, Pastor Gary is available, that after the service you might want to come to us and say, you know, I've always closed my mind to what the Lord has for me, and I'm willing, and I'm going to open up to the Lord. I'm tired of all this headache. I'm tired of all this worryness. I'm tired of this business. I'm going to let loose and turn it over to the Lord and say, to make the Lord Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of my life. And as the praise team come, I'm just going to pray for any of you that might be in that category that want to come to know the Lord as Savior, that want to open their minds to him, that they might do so. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that's still relevant after 2,000 years. We thank thee for those here who have cultivated a good mind, an open mind, and who have accepted you as your personal Savior. And we pray for those who have been reticent in opening their mind, who have been close to Jesus Christ, that believe that God doesn't speak. Speak to them at this time, dear Lord, that you might touch their heart and they might come to know his personal Savior. We thank thee for this time spent around in your presence. Bless each one here in a special way. Through Jesus' holy and most precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Pastor Don uses his, as a scripture reference, the parable in Luke 8 of the sower and the seed. And it reminds me of the process that gold has to go through before it becomes pure. You see, when gold comes out of the ground, it's like a piece of rock, and it has no real value in the way that it is. It can't be used for jewelry. But when the fire gets it, it's the same as when Donald pulls out the weeds. The fire gets it and purifies it. And this morning, and in our closing song, we just want you to just ponder on the words. And many of you, it's a new song for many of you, but we just want to just ponder the words of what the Lord Jesus wants to do to you and he wants to do to me. And especially for those of you who don't know him as your personal Savior, he wants to purify your heart. In the process, you'll get an open mind. You'll take your closed mind and you'll turn it into an open mind. Let's just rise as we sing the song in closing.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be
morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll just give us, Lord, an open mind, Lord. Lord, that you let us seek to eliminate distractions, Lord. Lord, so that we can hear from you and we can cooperate with your plan. Lord, I pray that as we leave here, Lord, we won't be like the 95% who are just hearers and just let it flow through our minds, Lord, but we'll be the 5% that will let it sink in and ponder it and ponder these truths. Lord, as we leave here, pray that you just take us to our respective places in peace and safety. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful new year. Happy New Year.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver.
To do your will.
Ready.
is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master. I'm ready to do this heart of mine,
ready to do your will.
I wanna be holy, wanna be righteous, to do your will. And Lord, I'm ready to do your will.